The 1958 four-passenger Thunderbird is completely different in design and construction from past Thunderbirds and also from all other 1958 Ford cars. How different? Well, take a look at the wheelbase. It's 113 inches on the new Thunderbird, 102 last year. The overall length is 205 inches, last year 185. So you see, it really is a different Thunderbird. For example, the 58 model has no frame as we ordinarily think of it. Actually, the body and frame are a single welded unit, which provides tremendous strength and rigidity. Another feature of this construction is the step-down location of the body floor, which places the passenger weight closer to the ground, giving the car a lower center of gravity. As a result of these changes in basic design, many of the Thunderbird service procedures should be reviewed for new information. Let's start with the body. The up and down adjustment of the hood is made by loosening the four hinge-to-hood support bolts and moving the bracket in the elongated holes as may be needed. Fore and aft adjustment and side-to-side adjustment of the hood is made by loosening the two hinge-to-hood bolts and moving the hood in the direction required. The hood locking dowels, one on each side, are adjustable left or right for centering in the locks. Also, the dowel may be turned in or out for easier locking. The safety latch may be adjusted by loosening two screws and moving the latch in the elongated holes. Both hood locks are released from inside the car by a Bowden control wire. Adjustment of the control wire from the passenger compartment is made at the hood lock end. The connecting wire between the two locks may be adjusted at both ends. The hood locks may be moved up or down in elongated holes to provide easy locking and an even flush line at the cowl. Adjustable rubber bumpers for hood leveling are mounted at each corner. To remove the bumper and grill together, disconnect the wires to the parking lights and remove five bolts at each end of the bumper. Then lift off the assembly. To remove the grill from the bumper, remove the bumper mounting brackets and then remove the grill to bumper retaining bolts. The complete rear bumper assembly can be removed by disconnecting the two license plate light wires, unfastening the muffler outlet pipe clamps, and removing four bolts from each side of the bumper. Then, if necessary, a corner section can be removed from the complete bumper. Door hinges are adjustable fore and aft, or up and down, by loosening the three bolts that fasten each hinge to the door. In or out movement of the door is done on the pillar by loosening four bolts at each hinge and moving the hinge. To adjust the vent window forward or backward, first remove the trim panel and plastic shield. Loosen screws A, C, and D. Remove the rubber plug from the pillar face and loosen the lock nut on the shoulder screw B. To move the vent window forward, turn screw B clockwise. To move the vent toward the door glass, turn the screw counterclockwise. To tilt the vent assembly in or out at the top, first make sure the lock nut on screw B is snug. Then, loosen screw E on the division bar bracket, which can be reached through the access hole. Turn screw C counterclockwise to tilt the vent assembly inward, and clockwise to tilt it outward. The door window adjustments for clearances at the top and with the quarter window, as well as the leveling adjustment, are covered on pages 12 and 13 of the 1958 Ford Mechanic No. 4. Quarter window adjustments for correct fit to the door window and the roof rail weather strip, and for leveling the window at the belt line, are found on pages 14 and 15 of the 1958 Ford Mechanic No. 4. The deck lid up and down adjustment is made by loosening three screws at the hinge support and moving the hinge in the elongated holes, Fore and aft and side-to-side adjustment is made by loosening the two screws and moving the deck lid as necessary. The adjustment of the deck lid lock is made at the striker plate by loosening the two retaining bolts and moving the plate up or down. Also, the plate may be rotated slightly from side to side to permit free operation of the lock. To remove the back window, it is first necessary to remove the rear deck panel and the package tray. Then the outside and inside moldings are removed. The dual taillight assembly may be replaced by first removing the inside trim panel at the rear of the trunk. Then, disconnect the wires, remove the four retaining nuts, and remove the assembly. Alignment of the dual headlights is accomplished for either inboard or outboard lights by turning the adjusting screw at the top of the light to raise or lower the beam. Turning the adjusting screw at the side of the light adjusts the beam horizontally. All instruments can be replaced from the front of the instrument panel. This is done by removing any one of three bezels which are clipped on. The fuel and temperature gauges and speedometer are removed by taking out four screws at each assembly. The clock is removed by taking out three screws. The radio is located on the instrument panel, and the speaker is installed in the tunnel trim panel between the front seats. The radio can be removed by first removing the access panel, which is retained by four screws. Then, disconnect the wires and remove the two hex head nuts at the instrument panel and one mounting bracket bolt at the back of the radio. The speaker may be replaced by first taking off the heater control trim panel and then the tunnel trim panel. Then disconnect the speaker wire, remove the four wing nuts, and lift out the speaker. The heater control assembly is located on top of the floor tunnel just under the radio. The unit may be removed by first taking out the trim panel on the tunnel and then disconnecting the cables, switch wires, and pilot light wire. The windshield washer switch is mounted on the left end of the instrument panel. To replace the switch, take out the panel, then remove the switch. To adjust the windshield washer pump for contact with the water pump pulley, loosen the two bracket mounting bolts and move the pump side to side as needed. The radiator on the Thunderbird is filled through the cap on the supply tank, which is mounted at the front of the engine. This tank is necessary because the radiator is turned 90 degrees, giving horizontal cross flow through the radiator. The Cruise-O-Matic transmission oil cooler is along the right-hand side of the radiator. In the exhaust system, dual exhaust pipes are installed in the body floor tunnel. A resonator pipe is welded between the two exhaust pipes. Dual mufflers are located one on each side of the gas tank. They can be replaced by removing the pipe clamps and the mounting brackets. The connecting points of the exhaust system are behind the resonator and on both ends of the mufflers. The fuel tank may be removed by disconnecting the fuel line and removing the tank support strap bolts. The 352 cubic inch engine used in the Thunderbird has hydraulic valve lifters. For complete service procedures, refer to the 1958 Ford Service Forum number 3, servicing 1958 8-cylinder engines. The front shock absorbers are mounted at an angle between the lower suspension arms and brackets on the underbody. The front coil springs are mounted in the conventional way. The front stabilizer is mounted through rubber bushings on the underbody, and the ends are connected to brackets attached to the upper side of the lower suspension arms. The Thunderbird is equipped with coil springs at the rear. The bottom of each spring rests on the lower suspension arm. The forward end of the lower suspension arm is mounted in a rubber bushing, and the rear end is secured to the axle housing by four bolts. The rear shock absorbers are connected to the lower suspension arms behind the coil springs and rear axle housing. The top ends of the shock absorbers are fastened to brackets on the underbody. A track bar keeps the rear axle in alignment with the body. The left end is mounted to a bracket on the underbody, and the right end to a bracket on the lower suspension arm. The steering gear has two adjustments. The engagement between the sector teeth and ball nut is set by an adjusting screw on top of the sector shaft. Preloading of the shaft bearings and worm assembly is set by the worm adjuster nut. The cruise-o-matic transmission linkage adjustments for the carburetor connecting link and the throttle control rod are easily performed because they're in a more accessible location. This advantage of easy accessibility also applies to adjusting the manual shift rod and the accelerator connecting link. For complete cruise-o-matic information, consult the 1958 Thunderbird shop manual. To reach the cruise-o-matic rear band adjustment access plug, the front portion of the tunnel trim panel must be removed and a piece of debner cut out. Band adjustment procedures are the same as for the 1958 car. The rear and front brakes on the Thunderbird have a divided lining on the secondary shoes. Between the two halves of the lining is a metallic block. This block absorbs heat generated in the drum, thus reducing the possibility of brake fading under severe braking conditions. A new adjustment for the secondary shoe on front and rear brakes is provided by an eccentric located just above the metallic block. The eccentric adjusting bolt should be rotated forward until the shoe drags against the brake drum. Then the bolt is backed off so that the drum rotates freely, without drag. Then the adjusting bolt lock nut is tightened. Secondary brake shoes with the lining and metallic block attached will be serviced as an assembly. There will be no separate brake lining kits. For complete service information, consult the 1958 Thunderbird shop manual and the 1958 Ford Mechanic number 4. Now, let's check what we have learned by answering a few questions.